Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, you guys, Scott Johnson here. You're about to listen to The Instance. The Instance, you know, that podcast that's been around since January of 2006. Early days, there was no way to really support the show, but now there is. That's right, the brand new Loot Stash from The Instance. You can go to theinstance.net and check it out, and there are many cool things you can get for being a subscriber to the show. You even just start as low as a dollar. That's insane. But great stuff throughout, so go check it out and be a part of the next phase of The Instance. That's over at theinstance.net. Do it today.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is episode 555. 555. Isn't that the fake prefix they use in movies? If you're going to call like a fake dude, you do 555 and then a random four numbers.
I think it's like any number. No actual number in the U.S. has 555 at any point.
Right.
If like,
and
that's how.
Yeah, and they do that so they don't get in trouble. Having a number that people can call after they see the movie and piss somebody off.
So
that's perfect.
So this is essentially the fake Hollywood version of The Instance, is what you're saying?
Hey, that's what we do every week. Are you kidding me? Welcome to the show, everybody. It is our pleasure to be here. And for this beautiful April 12th, it's not beautiful. There's snow outside. I don't get it. I don't understand it. 2019, I would like to welcome to the program Mr. Garrett Weinzierl from America's Winger. Wiener. Or Winger. Sure. Whatever. Hi, Garrett.
Hi, Scott. I'm not sure who America's winger would be. We don't really have a wing-like protrusion from the landmass.
That's true, but you do have a wiener, and there you are.
We do have a wang-like protrusion from the landmass, and it's called Florida.
That's right, and it's warmer there than here. I'm sure of that. That I'm sure of.
It is. It is nice, and it's nice and humid.
Fantastic. You have a cold, so enjoy that. I'll give you a week, and then you'll be good.
Yeah.
Everything will be fine.
Yeah, I did quite a bit of traveling lately, and it appears to have caught up with me.
Nice. Also, Patrick Beja from a Finnish, get this, everybody, a Finnish Tex-Mex restaurant. That is awesome.
Yeah, and you know that nothing stops me from being on The Instance, except when it does. But in this case, it doesn't. I'm not at home. I'm in a restaurant. There are lots of people looking at me weird. And I'm still doing the show. That's how much I love all of you.
Well, good.
Well, tip your busboy.
Yes, please. Also, you look. Oh, you don't. Oh, they don't tip over don't there. Tip yeah, here. They don't tip. That's true.
Yeah.
There's no tipping in Europe.
Like, service is actually included in the bill, so you don't have a choice. You actually, we all tip, and it's not. It's mandatory.
It's just in like there as a percentage, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And if you really like the service, though, let's say it was just exemplary beyond words, like, oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Can you do that? Can you slip them 5 space money points or whatever you do in Finland? What do you do?
It's a bit weird in Finland if you do it, but in France, you do tip. It's just you tip less than you would in the U.S. Like, I'm pretty sure that when Americans come to France and they tip in the way they do in the U.S., servers are, I was going to say are ecstatic, but French servers are usually annoyed. So I guess they're marginally less annoyed.
Okay. So they'll take your money is what you're saying. It's just
culturally weird. No, this isn't Japan. Yeah. In Japan, they'll run after you and go like, oh, you forgot coins on the, or like bills on the table.
So wow. Really?
Take
them
back.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, I thought their anime was weird. Just kidding. Well, anyway, hey.
Then I would like to leave a tip for Jeremy Fiesel because I really enjoyed the stream that the WoW team did recently.
Yeah, I did too.
It was really good.
Yeah, Yeah, I like the format. We're going to talk about that at length here in a minute, because a lot of stuff came out of that discussion that he kind of had with himself. Well, him and 50,000 watchers.
Yes, him, himself, and his.
He did great, though. I was really impressed with it. And there's a lot to be impressed by, actually, and a lot to look forward to, I think, in this upcoming content release.
This, more so than any of the others so far that have taken place in the new kind of setup they have, really felt like a BlizzCon panel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. I think also keeping it, it still felt loose and casual from his presentation style, so that was great. But also you didn't have to worry about three different voices all having to have a say to say a thing. You didn't have to have a bunch of Q&A or somebody try to parse a chat room to get questions. Like, just give us the raw data, give us a bunch of visuals to match. We'll get to parse it, and then, you know, later on they can do other streams where Ian answers questions or whatever, which they'll surely do.
Yeah, it was a lot of information, and we knew some things about Take Two, but we didn't know that, you know, they still kept a few things under, you know, secret. Mm-hmm. And I think this format was definitely a lot better than maybe Ian and Lore getting into it, which is great for, you know, when people have questions. But in this case, it was just information dump.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm not sure it would have worked as well.
Yeah. One might say they kept some surprise information under the sea.
Yeah, that's true. And
so I laughed. You didn't hear it because I was muted. I'm muting myself because of the rowdy music in this joint.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
It's mostly like I can hear.
I would have sang it if my throat was better.
Patrick, real quick, the chatter behind you, it's all Finnish. Is that what I'm hearing? Yeah.
Sorry, I have to unmute myself every time. It's very inconvenient.
Yeah.
It's actually Swedish. I'm in Swedish part of the country.
Oh, all right. That's cool. Well, then then Borka, let's get going. Hey, a couple quick things before we get started. It's not racist when they're also white, right? I can make fun of Swedes. It's fine, right?
Because you're white, you can make fun of other cultures. I'm not sure that checks out, Scott.
I don't know it would qualify as racist. I don't know, but definitely insensitive, which, you know, it's not the first time you've been insensitive.
No.
And I'm not sure how much flack you would get for it.
So, probably plenty is my thinking.
You know, if it's a Muppets reference, I feel Jim Henson, you know, cuts the blowback a bit. But, you know, yeah, still a little insensitive.
Yeah, that's true. I'll blame it on my exposure to the Muppet Show. That's the way to do it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Listen, I'm a proxy Swedish-speaking Finn, and I'm okay with it. So right. You're absolved.
Thank you very much. I dropped the M word on the morning stream yesterday. When trying to describe a little person, I dropped the M word, the one that we don't use anymore, and got a little flack for that. So there you go. I guess I'll go ahead.
It's not great, isn't it?
But it's this thing that I had pounded into me when I was a kid, and it never quite left. So sometimes it just spills out like beans. It's terrible. I don't know what the bean reference is. Anyway, hey, I got a quick couple things here. After the show today, if you're watching us live, stick around because I'm giving away some stuff. It'll be post show, but these are like old school CCG cards, collectible physical cards that someone has donated. David in particular has donated to the show to give away things like Footsteps of Illidan, The Paint Bomb, Gone Fishing, Papa Hummel's Pet Biscuits, those kinds of cards, like physical cards with the scratched off numbers. I have those numbers to give people, and we're going to give those away at the end of the show. So stick around for that. For you home listening,
I can't claim some of them for myself.
You can have one of the Papa Hummel's Pet Biscuits. You can have one of those because I have two, but the rest of them I have to give away. All right, and then secondly, just a quick note, as you all probably heard, there was a Chris Metzen interview put up a little bit earlier, I guess early this week.
Oh, damn, I didn't hear it.
Oh, you got to go check it out. Yeah, you should listen. It's good.
I'd be surprised if you said it sucked. But
yeah.
I was about to say, I love the idea of Patrick asking that question, expecting any other answer other than, yes, everyone should go listen to it right now.
Yeah, no, it's bad. Nobody should avoid it at all costs. But no, this is a bit of a follow-up to the other two previous ones I did in the last year or two. And this one went longer, so we've put it in parts. Part one launched this week. It left it on a bit of a cliffhanger, which everyone's giving me grief for, but whatever. The second part went out yesterday to supporters of our instance Loot Stash. So if you're a supporter of that new system, you got it early at the levels that get early stuff like that, early shows. You can see it if you go to theinstance.net. So they get it early. Everyone else will get it mid next week, so like Wednesday. That'll be on the regular feed, just like it was last time. That'll be part two. Still have a part three and four coming. It was all incredibly fascinating. This part that's coming out, that went out yesterday to subscribers and will go out to everyone on Wednesday, has some really cool stuff about Thrall Cataclysm, Thrall getting married and having a kid and why he pushed for that. I don't want to give too much away, but there's a lot of stuff in there you didn't know about that part of the game. But also it's another intimate look at Chris's process, his life, what it was like at Blizzard at the time, where his head was at, that sort of stuff. So if you haven't been checking it out, do check out part one. It was a really great introduction to what I think is a great series. I'd have put it all together, but it's like 4 hours. So if I'd have put out a 4-hour podcast, you all would have hung me. So I'm doing it in parts. So that's what's going on there. So do check that out. Again, all of it's on this podcast feed. You can find details and how to subscribe and get all that stuff over at theinstance.net.
Also, I made something cool for it, so you should go subscribe right now.
Oh, that's right. And also, Garrett made something really cool for it. I should just tell him what it is. Okay, you know the card? There's a membership card for the high-level subscription. We've already described it and talked about it. You get one every month. It has artwork from me every month, WoW-related, hand-drawn, you know, artwork on the front of that thing, and a kind of an indicator of what month you're getting it. So they're kind of collectible. And on the back of the card, Garrett made this amazing, intricately detailed Hearthstone-style card back, but with our logo and stuff on the rear of this thing. These are really high quality, and we ship them out every month, and they're amazing. So go gets it. That's at theinstance.net. All right, let's dive into this. So much happened in that thing, but I think I've parsed it out into its important bits enough that we can make a show out of it without being here for 9 hours. So let's get into it. There's a lot of Rise of Ashara stuff to talk about. The live stream happened. Like we said, we think it was a really good presentation. Worked out real well. It was short. They kept it to about a half an hour. And here are the bits that I want to hit. Everything from story to the major stuff that happened with Heart of Azeroth changes, which seem big to me. We'll see in actual use how they're doing. Garrett's desire last week to get flying sooner than later. We now know when we're going to get flying and how you'll unlock it and where you'll be able to fly, that sort of stuff. But also mounts in general got a really weird new idea, which we'll get to in a second. So there's your little preview. Let's start off with story. Here's what we know on the Horde side. Sylvanas has learned something and has sent a few Horde champions out to see it, or out to sea to see it. Oh, out to sea, whenever that takes us. Might be a new landmass out there. Anyway, so that's a thing. The Alliance gives chase with Jaina at the helm. So Jaina's like, what? I was just done fighting people in a raid. Now I'm in my boat chasing after what's going on over there that Sylvanas is doing. So that's a thing. So we're now coming to a head. Before we go on, Garrett, that seems exciting because you were all like, hey, where's my story? And now you got your two ladies going, right? So maybe we're leading up to some good stuff there.
That was such a deeply nuanced explanation of Ajara and Sylvanas and Jaina fighting. I mean, really, this is the culmination of all three Warbringers finally interacting with one another, right? Because Ajara is going to finally get involved in this expansion. Mm-hmm. I already have a question because in Fiesel's explanation of what happens, these two main characters of this expansion are chasing each other and Ajara parts the seas and the ships fall and break upon the coral and rocks below and Najatar is revealed and that's how we start questing through there. Jaina can freaking fly her boat. Mm-hmm. Does her boat fall or does she just watch all her other buddies fall to their death in the coral below?
Oh my gosh, this is a great question. I don't know.
This is my first excuse me nerd question.
Yeah, I think these kinds of questions are the kind that you just relegate to the side. It's like, well, there's always a way to explain it. Like she had to conjure some kind of weird rare magic to get her boat to fly in that way in the cinematic. I've already had
the sideline, the fact that she's a mage and can just port places, so I don't really understand why she needs to bother with a flying ship in the first place.
Well, I mean, why she was late
to the fight outside of Lordaeron because she's a mage and she can port places.
To be honest, if all mages could port everywhere all the time, a lot of the Blizzard, you know, lore doesn't make sense at all.
I'm aware of that. I'm drawing the line here, sir. I let it go during the Lordaeron stuff because sometimes you can tell me because it's cool, Garrett, and I will agree with you, and I will shut up.
Right.
But now I'm like, but the boat flies.
Yeah. No. You make a good point. I have a bit. So it's so funny how your brain works because mine worked in a similar way, but in a totally different context. When that water leaves, and now that is a now exposed, previously underwater zone. Am I just going to see piles of dead sea life that can't live in the open air? Like, are we going to walk in there and just be like manatees and freaking huge beached looking whales just going like rotting in the sun
and gaping for oh, that would be.
I mean,
I'm guessing that Queen Ashara, being a lover of all things of the sea, has made sure that when she's parting the waters, she grabs with little tendrils of water all of those cute little marine life animals and make sure that they're taken with the waters.
Okay.
That's what my supposition.
She is Aquawoman after all, basically.
I would argue that would be a nice little environmental detail to have little fish flopping around.
I would too. Like, why not?
And then like after week three, they should be like dead. Like, they should no longer be flopping. They should just be dead. And like, then week six comes around, they should just be skeletons. Basically, one of those corpses getting cleaned up outside of Zul'Dazar.
Oh, I love that idea. The idea of maybe even just one big whale thing that's gasping. A couple weeks later, it's dead. 2 weeks later, it's kind of rotting. One day, you go out there for a world event and it explodes because it's so bloated.
Well, then, Mommy, why is the nice whale dying in the middle of your game?
They're never going to do that, but I would love it.
Well, then you can bring back the druid, the Data, which we haven't, the PETA surrogate in World of Warcraft. We haven't dealt with them in a while. They could show up and they could be trying to save the beach whales.
I never thought of them as the PETA surrogate, but you're right. They kind of are that in this scenario.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I always assumed because they're like the actual tree hugging druids that are like, hey, Nessing Mary is kind of an ass.
Yeah.
Go stop him.
Exactly. They're, you know, true tree huggers. Hugging them trees. Well, anyway, that'll all come to a head. One nice thing I did notice about the video they showed from that zone. I like they walk and look like they probably are structurally the models or the rigs they use for the big tree ant stuff. Guardians, Grove Guard, or what are they called? The big trees in
Ancients.
They look like ancients, but they're all made out of shells and like coral and shit. They look like just like sea ancients just tromping around down there. They look awesome. Pretty excited
about
that.
Such a cool redesign of a famous monster in Warcraft, and also like the Night Elf connection between Ashara and everything that's going on. Like, I'm so stoked on it. The whole art direction going on in Nazjatar is top notch. Just yes, please. I can't wait for 8.2.
How do you feel? Okay, well, since we're talking about zones, let's keep going in that regard. That looks huge, and by all accounts, it is. There have been a couple of hands-on reports that is a gigantic zone, and people are pretty excited about it. But then Mechagon, which is the other zone, is a big tinkery nightmare of machines and organics and a bunch of little gnomes running around doing weird shit.
Honestly, I'm surprised you didn't think it was it's Warcraft Mad Max world.
Yeah, it totally is. I dig that vibe a lot. Obviously, I'm sort of into that sort of thing. But anyway, I don't like gnomes. But I was gonna say this may change all that. I may get in there and go, oh man, gnomes, you've done it. You've finally solved the riddle. You've made yourselves relevant for me, and I may go roll one of you now or something. Like, that'll be impossible almost, but I'm excited about what I see in there.
Yeah, me too. I think it looks just incredible. I had really fond memories of kind of stumbling across Gnomeregion back in the day and running it with my friends and, mm-hmm. And being like, oh man, gnomes did have a capital, but it's overrun. And it was really cool seeing all that. And I've always really enjoyed the kind of tinker, leaning a little bit more into Warhammer side of Warcraft that come from gnomes and goblins. So sign me up. I'm also very in for this. It's looking very Timeless Isle to me, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and they say, where did I read this? Somebody who played through it, well, maybe Nevitel in their latest video, anyway, said something about that it was about the size of Timeless Isles, but thinner or longer.
Yeah, I started watching their video. Sorry, TNE, big fan, but I didn't make it through your entire hour-long video. But they did say it was about the size of it, but not as vertical.
Yeah.
So it seems smaller because of the loss of verticality.
Yeah, which is, that's okay with me. I'm just getting all of this land mass content is great. this is my favorite thing about WoW is exploring and finding things and pulling out quests and unlocking new areas. Like, that's what I play for. I love that. So they're giving us that and... this is a gigantic bunch of content. This is really
great. I think my favorite thing a while might be becoming mega dungeons, because probably the biggest highlight of Legion for me was the massive five-man Karazhan redo. And that we're getting a new 8-boss mega dungeon with this that's going to take place in Mechagon, and it just looks incredible. And If I had to move something up to the top of my WoW wish list, it would be more of these.
Yeah, it looks really good. All right, so that's just part of what's happening. There are also, in terms of story, Ashara plays her cards here in this content, and the seas open up, swallows their ships, giving air to a new zone, Agitar, which we talked about, which is formerly under the sea. That's all a big deal. In the war campaign, Bane is locked up underneath Orgrimmar currently. Shackled in there for his little slip of the old had a little nice guy moment in some of the last content, and so
Bane is nothing but a collection of nice guy moments. If we're being
honest, exactly. In fact, the whole reason the Tauren's alliance with the Horde, pardon the use of the word alliance with the Horde, but you know what I mean. Them always being aligned with the Horde always felt a little off anyway. Still feels off to me. And I like that conflict. I like the feeling of like, we just kind of have to. It strategically makes sense. We don't really agree. Certainly right now, we don't agree with the leadership. And he's one to let his morals rise to the top and get himself in trouble. And that's where he is right now. He's in trouble. So if you haven't gotten through that part of the story, I don't want to spoil how he gets there, why, because that stuff's great to go look at if you haven't. But he is locked up, chained, multiple chains holding Bane, holding him down right there in Orgrimmar. So part of the war campaign is dealing with that.
The image that we got of this is the best thing they could think of is just to attach as many ball and chains to the Tauren as they could.
It's totally true, dude. I mean, he is literally like, I mean, I know the Bane's a big dude and they're strong by nature and all of that. It feels a little overkill. Like, they don't need to. They put Sourfang in less strict jail. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a room with a cell. Like, why they have to put?
Well, that's the stockades. That's just what the stockades are, man. They don't have like special orc rooms. Just how Stormwind does their jail cells.
That's true. So there's that.
That's just how honorable and fair the alliance is. I'm just throwing it out there.
Pro alliance.
I mean, those
bias.
Are pretty big square footage for cells in there. I mean, I gotta say, it's as far as jail goes. That's prime real estate.
Seems like he even gets like food, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some mild entertainment when adventurers go into stockades to run the dungeon. They run by his cell. There's stuff happening there.
Mild entertainment.
You think Sarfang's going there just like,
well,
another level 12 is running by with shield and sword.
That's the thing. I don't think Sourfang is going to be very impressed by what's happening in this stockade. So
yeah.
it's not a big show. It's just, I was watching rats each other a minute ago. Now there's adventurers casting ridiculous spells in the hole. That's
a small step up.
I love the idea of your, and as punishment, your sentence is to stay in this jail cell where you will receive bread, water, and mild entertainment. Seems like a good idea. All right, moving on to, oh, and his fate and the fate of those who followed him will be revealed in this patch. So you're going to get some resolution there. That'll be fun. Let's move on to the big news, though, which is the Heart of Azeroth changes. They are huge and they seem great. They seem like what we're asking for. Actually, they seem like Legion poked its head up and said, yo, 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 I got ideas. Why don't you just steal them from me? And that's kind of what they did.
I love these changes because this is how I thought this stupid necklace was going to work in the first place when they announced it.
Yeah, like that's what I thought too.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's really difficult because they really tried something different, which obviously did not work, And although, you know, they're keeping the Azerite gear, right? It's not going away. Mm-hmm. But they're also adding back essentially artifacts to, or version of artifacts to the Heart of Azeroth. But I think we're very quick to say, oh, you know, they should have just kept it like that from the get-go. But if you apply, of course, in this case, we're right, or the people who say that are right. Yeah. But if you apply this to everything, then you just keep making the same expansion with the same systems and the same features over and over again. And so I think it was a necessary move. It didn't work out in this case. But usually, most of the time, maybe not most of the time, but a good portion of the time it does. And it gives us some really cool stuff. So just wanted to mention that before we praise the return to Legion artifacts, which we should.
I think you make a good point. In some ways, this is a concession from Blizzard to say, all right, fine. We won't push this other thing that we tried to do. And in some ways, that makes me slightly sad, but only in the fact that, you know, the system they employed this in BFA just wasn't cutting it. It wasn't superior to what we were doing in Legion, nor was it equivalent. And I am all for let's not just do the same thing over and over again. But I think that it was just so strong and so well received in Legion, it was impossible for them to not try to do something like it, and now we finally get that. It's sad that it had to happen this late, but again, you know, they basically went back to the drawing board in a lot of ways. But I would see this as a really positive. If you're one of those players, it's like Blizzard doesn't listen to its players. They never do anything we ask for. They never respond to the overall feelings of the player base. This is like proof that they do. Like they didn't need to do this.
To be fair, we haven't seen a lot of those reactions in the community. I think everyone is pretty positive about 8.2 and all of those changes.
Well, that's what I mean. They were so unhappy.
All the coverage about this preview is overwhelmingly positive. Mm-hmm. I don't really read the comments anymore because it just makes me sad. But
don't blame you.
I think probably the concerns or wishes right now are just wish it had come sooner, but I mean, if WoW moves at the pace WoW moves, there's only so much they can do.
Yeah, but I just think with all the complaining around BFA and the Azerite gear discussion up to this point had a lot of negativity in the periphery, this is Blizzard showing that they listen to their players, and they have, as best I can tell, they have made a thing I'm much more interested in exploring than I was the previous systems. So, I mean, we have to see it actually in the real world and see how it goes and if we like it better or not. But it does look on paper and screen like this is definitely a step in the right direction. I'll try to give it some points of description here that will help people understand kind of how it works. So it's basically kind of a grid around your necklace. There's really nice UI elements. For example, when you're working on it, you see your floating necklace above this like little altar thing, and it's all very Blizzard polished visually anyway. And you get this grid. It lets you slot an essence into a tree, picking a major slot, which is your active ability, and two minor slots, which is your passive bonus. And you get this stuff, essence, you gain this essence, they're calling it, through lots of different activities in the game, and different essences come from different activities. So one of them might be more of a PvP related thing, and you will gain that essence through PvP related activity. Same goes for PvE activity, doing daily quests all day, doing a dungeon raids. All of these things contribute to the different essences, which all have multiple types and ranks, again, depending on what you're doing in the world. So I like the idea that it's going to build up according to my playstyle. It's, you know, you if you don't ever PvP, then you just, I guess you don't want those essences anyway, because those would all be PvP-related abilities, either active or the minor slots. Higher ranks gain not just damage, but higher utility for additional charges. Higher, if this all starts to sound like Legion, it's because it does. Higher difficulty content gives you higher ranks, including the highest rank, which also has some cosmetic aspect to it. Essences come from almost all content in the game. Again, questing, raiding, PvP, reputation, etc. The essence is a major slot and also gives that essence a minor trait. Basically, if you're a fully fitted Heart of Azeroth, it should grant a player one major power and four minor powers. It sounds a little confusing on the face of it, or at least in my description of it, but it
is. Is it only one major? I thought it was two or three. Maybe
it is. I thought it was one major power and four minors. That's my understanding. And that seems, okay, that seems to be confirmed by, PC Gamer did a breakdown of it, and they seem to confirm that as well.
It's one and three, one major, one active, three minors.
There you go. One major, one active, three minors. There you go. That sounds like a Saturday night at Garrett's house.
What's the difference between major and active? Because I thought
That's the same thing. I'm saying you have one major, you have one active. That is it. That's the same thing. And then you have your minors.
Right.
Okay.
So why do these guys say four minor powers? PC Gamer's claiming four. If you're fully kitted out. I don't know what that takes or what that means. But anyway,
it's essentially, you have a few slots, one major apparently, and you can use any of those powers, which are kind of talents or majors, the artifacts. But you have a list of like 10, and you, which ones you use. But each of them has an active power that will activate if it's in the major slot, and a passive power that will be active if they're in the minor slot. So you kind of create a build depending on what you want to do. It's pretty substantial.
Yeah, it's fairly substantial. I mean, I can't tell you the descriptions of some of these abilities. They displayed some of these in the presentation, but they didn't get into tons of detail.
There is an absolute ton on WoWhead, but we would be here a long time just reading things off.
Yeah. I mean, I could get into what purification protocol is and why it's cool and all the details about it, or Engine of Ceaseless Progress or Focus Iris or any of these major or minor traits, but if this all sounds familiar, it's because they really are, in the end, making artifact weapons out of your necklace. I mean, it's an artifact. It's going to behave a lot like that did and those systems did. The biggest difference here is players get to customize their specific abilities. So imagine the Legion system, if everyone remembers it, and being able to customize. Like, it was class-based, and you unlocked it based on, you know, what was it called then? Artifact power. Until you got yourself decked out pretty well, but you were basically adhering to a template. This lets everybody kind of pick and choose what they want to do and what they want to be, which I think is really great. Also, they say once you launch it, you won't have to worry about grinding to unlock Azerite armor traits anymore. That is over and done. And I don't have to collect a bunch of Azerite armor either, and keep, you know, pieces of my stuff depending on whether I'm raiding or, you know, running world content or whatever.
Well, I mean, Azerite power gear is still there.
It's still there. It's still, and I suppose, right. Yeah, right. If you're gonna,
if they make raid specific Azerite gear, you're still gonna have to keep Azerite gear in your bag. It's just that now you don't need to have a certain level to unlock the different traits. You just get to pick what you want, which I think is a massive improvement.
Yeah, sounds like it, right? Like, I know we need to try it first, because I'm trying to keep an even keel, even head about this, but I'm beyond excited. It sounds like what I wanted from the beginning.
I guess there are so many rings now that maybe one piece of gear is enough to cover all your needs, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess.
Maybe. I mean, for players who aren't min-maxing every possible, and there are plenty of players who will, and that's great. I, you know, have as many pieces of Azerite armor as you want, I suppose. It's your game. But for a lot of us, for me in particular, I can care less about that and more about the majors and the minors on the traits. That sounds way more interesting to me. to be able to customize that. And you can do it at any rest area anytime you want or with a tome. So it's going to work like talents. So if you're in a if you're in town and you're like, ah, I'm going to change one of these miners out and for something better or whatever, you can do that anytime you're in a, I used to call them a triple Z zone, but anywhere where it lets you have rested XP, cities, stuff like that, you can do it. Or if you have a tome out in the wild, you can do it with that. So
remind me to ask this question when we're kind of getting to the end of 8.2, but like, I'm curious, like, do we think a system like this is going to exist in the next expansion? And I don't have an answer right now, because I kind of want to see how this plays out, because this is a major overhaul of the system.
Yeah. Well, and also having it come this late, would it be sensible for them to parlay it into whatever they do next time, because they're, you know, it's happening now? I don't know. That's a really good question. Depends on how it's received. I mean, I have
it's kind of the inherent challenge of someone brought this up in chat room, and I completely agree with it, is that the artifact weapon system from Legion was a near impossible act to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so freaking good that unless you're just going to keep it in the game, which would be weird in an RPG level based game like this, to do that, like, that anything that came next was probably not going to be as good.
Right.
So what do they do going forward? Because they do seem to want to add to our abilities as player characters in a way outside of the traditional talents that we have just given our level. Mm-hmm. So what does it look like going forward is my interest, but I want to see how 8.2 feels in practice first before I think on that.
Yeah.
I think that's a discussion for next BlizzCon, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we get this and what they say is summer. I don't know what that means. Didn't give a date. So,
yeah, I mean, summer for Blizzard, I feel like it'd run up to the end of August.
Yeah, that would suck. Oh my gosh, that would suck.
No, that's the lead. I mean, I don't want to start talking about BlizzCon necessarily, but yeah. I'm guessing we're going to hear about the next expansion of BlizzCon.
Yeah. So I would think so too.
And there's still 8.3, which we know nothing about. So. Yeah.
I hope what they mean is.
Oh, are we sure there's an 8.3?
I guess it has. They did say.
Yes.
Can't remember if they. Yes. Okay. So Garrett says yes.
There's another raid that's been confirmed.
Yeah. Mm. So if they're. That would make sense. That's the pattern. But.
So if, 3 years between expansions?
I want June is what I want. I want June for this release. If they're saying summer, be early. And then I want to play it. Like, I want to play it now. I want it next week, actually, is what I'm saying. I'd like this next week, if that'd be okay, Blizzard. Just stick it in there. I know you just did a big major content update, but maybe you could just stick this one into Tuesday's release schedule. That'd be great. I'm sure you're all done. It's ready to go. But anyway, it's looking rad, and I've yet to find anybody who seems disappointed with what they heard and saw, and that's also heartening, just because this player base can sometimes be super cynical, and I don't blame them in BFA's current state for being a little cynical, but this seems like good news across the board. Also, you're going to get flying unlocked. That's exciting. We were just talking about that. So you can get going on your Pathfinder achievement, whatever equivalent it will be this time. You get a mechanical parrot as a reward for unlocking flying. And my favorite news is that, we'll get to the mounts in a second. Flying is also unlocked for Kul'Tiras, Zandalar, Mechadon, and Nazjatar once the achievement is completed, as you would suspect.
The first time you can fly in the new zone?
No, that worked with what was the
Thunder Island? You could.
Yeah, but what was the last one here? Legion.
Argus and Argus. From Legion.
Yeah, Argus. Yeah. Oh, you couldn't with Argus? I couldn't remember if you could or not.
No, you cannot fly Argus.
Argus, you couldn't, but you could in the you know, intermediary zone, which was
Broken Isle.
Yeah, you could there. So I guess it's similar.
Okay. Oh, I forgot about Broken Isles because I hated it so much.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
And also pretty small, so and invisible from the landmass.
Yeah.
The Broken Shore. Broken
Isles. Broken Shore, isle. Isles everything. Right. Yeah. Shores.
Isles is the whole damn continent. Which made sense. But that's kind of
Shores is where Varian became a fine green mist that everybody breathed in from the rest of the game on, right? Isn't that where that happened?
I still miss him.
And I mean, so I miss him too. I do too.
But yeah, Najdar is just like seems so bananas by comparison. Also, last time I was on the show, you know, I was pretty salty about flying and saying they're taking too long. And when you just, I think when you hit max level, you should just be able to fly. The fact that we're going to be able to fly in Mechagon and Najdar once we finish up this achievement completely chills me the F out.
Right.
Because now although I guess there certainly could be an argument made for, well, just let me fly in the current content and then make me unlock flying in Najdar and Mechagon by itself. That's all well and good. But this really does a lot to calm me the hell down now that I know I'm going to be able to fly in these new zones, because I'm like, cool, that's an easier narrative to follow. Yeah, I'm going to have to experience all these zones from the ground floor at first. Yeah. And then once I complete my achievement, I'll be able to fly. Now it doesn't bother me as much.
For some reason, I don't have a memory of what mounts. Did they give mounts as rewards for previous flight unlock in Warlords and Legion? I don't remember that. Could you get a mount for doing that? Because I think the mount...
I got my Death Knight mount was tied to the flying achievement or not. I don't think it was.
No, it's tied to your...
its own separate achievement.
Yeah, it's tied to your character, or your Azerite. Or, what the hell was it called? Your artifact stuff.
Oh, no, because I fly on it all the freaking time. I have my two-headed Chimera from Draenor,
which I
wanted to kill myself getting that achievement. I hated it so much, but I do love that mount.
That mount's cool, yeah. I have the paid-for similar version. I paid $25 for it. I never did get my rewards.
Well, I waited until the end of Legion to get my Draenor flying and did it alone and paid nothing other than my
better
soul.
Better than me. Better than me. Well, here. I guess your soul's pretty expensive. Now that you mention that. I don't know. Patrick, how do you feel about all of that unlocking at once? Or do you wish the system was, hey, this whole big patch comes out. The day that happens, you can fly in Kul'Tiras and Zandalar. And then Mechadong.
Well, Mechadong. It had to happen at some point.
I didn't mean to say that. I may have said it last week. I keep saying it. Anyway, Mechagon. It's their fault. That name's hard. It's just getting worse. I'm going to shut up now. But anyway, would you rather it be broken up, or are you cool with like one big achievement that's going to take you weeks to do and unlock it all?
I think it's fine. I mean, if you were thinking we would need the achievement to give us flying in the first zone first, and then we would need to work on an additional one for the next zone, it would be a bit janky. Mm-hmm. And then the other option is to get people... you know, give them flying in immediately when they reach the end of the story quest. But the problem is you spend so much time with, you know, world quests and stuff like that. If you give flying to everyone from get-go, I really think the logic is it makes all of that content a lot less relevant. Mm. And it's really a balance they have to strike between giving us something that will make it look seem fun or more fun and having value to that flying and preserving the quality of the content. And yes, it becomes trivial when you finally get it. Not trivial, but, you know, a lot more, a lot easier to do. But you've already done it for so long that it's a relief. Mm-hmm. But I really think that if you get it immediately, it cheapens the content. So I think a lot of people that are saying, oh, I would like to get flying much sooner, I'm guessing that they would actually dislike the way it makes the game feel, and then complain about that. I might be wrong, but that's my feeling. So I'm happy with
it. I will tell you you're wrong, because they already did it right, and it was in Lich King, and I like the way they did it in Lich King.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't have as much of the constant daily quests and world quests that made you go in the world. There were some, but not as much. So the way you approach the daily grind of the game has changed, and I think that changes the relationship you have to flying as well.
Yes and no. Again, I think in the beginning of World Quest, that's fine, but where we are now, I'm done. I don't give a crap about seeing that stuff from the ground floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess what you're saying is it's taking too long, so you would put the balance at like, I don't know, how long has it been? 6 months instead of 9 is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a
tune it a little bit.
obviously this is my opinion and not a fact, right? But like the way I, to me, it's very much tied in with the speed at which new content gets added, because I do think there's a really fair argument against getting flying too soon with the new war mode and with the new incursions. And what that brings to the game in world, in natural world PvP, and how flying would affect that. So did they need to put it out sooner for me to stop feeling this way? Does anyone care about my personal opinion? Probably not. But that,
oh, for me, you're not the only one with that opinion. So I think it's fair to discuss.
Yeah. So the one I'm trying to say, like, I get you, Patrick. It is. I completely agree that it's a nuanced conversation, and for where it's coming from for me is this push and pull of just having to do the same damn walk a million times in the world.
Yeah, I think I agree. I'm more on the side of what Garrett is suggesting, and I did like how it worked in Lich King. Wrath of the Lich King. I'll just say the whole word or phrase, but I really wish it was that. And I'm okay. I think Patrick makes good points, and I think that's why they're doing what they're doing. I wish they were satisfied with the way it used to work and then just stuck with that. That's how I'd like it. But I'm not going to...
It was also cool that, like... the Ice Crown Zone was kind of more or less designed with flying in mind. I thought that was clever, and it was these kind of big open areas mm-hmm. with all kinds of baddies that would just murder you dead if you landed.
Yeah,
that's I found that. I thought it was a cool design, but I'm also looking at this nostalgia through rose-colored glasses and so on and so forth, but I'd like to get back to that a little bit.
Yeah, you and your rose-colored glasses. Holy shit. How about this?
Like lich-colored glasses, like purple and blue.
Oh, yeah, purple and blue, and very cold. Very cold. Icy. Mount equipment. This is interesting. This came as a complete shock to me.
I love this idea.
Yeah, it's a slot, basically. It's like a new equipment slot, and you equip it for all your mounts. It's basically a buff for all your mounts in your collection. So examples would be water walking. You don't have to pull out the bug anymore. You can do that on any mount if you have that equipment slot mounted for water walking or slow fall or the ability not to be dazed while you're riding. This is a brilliant idea.
This is pretty big, actually, the ability dazed when you're riding. Mm-hmm. It's going to make traveling. Well, I guess we're going to be flying now, but I don't know. It doesn't really, it's not that useful when you, once you get flying.
Well, right. It'll be useful for future expansions if this stays and we're back to not You're flying right. come next expansion.
Yeah. That's and you know where else it'll be useful? It'll be useful during the grind and pain of getting your flying achievement if you haven't already done it. Like if you're a little
actually,
behind.
That's a very good point. Because yeah. we're still going to have new achievements to have to check off the list
right.
when 8.2 drops. We're not going to like, it's not welcome to Nagitar. Fly over Fling. All this crap.
Yeah. There's going to be stuff left to do, but for some people, they're going to have some catch up, and it would be great to catch up with some of these abilities. They didn't get into real heavy detail on this. Like, we don't know water walking equipment or trinket or whatever, how that gets earned wasn't discussed, but I assume if you already have the spider, maybe you already have it. Not the spider, the whatever it's called, the water bug thing.
Water strider.
Water strider, that's it. It's just a chat room says riding crop version 2. Kind of. A little bit. I mean, obviously, a lot more useful otherwise. Riding
I distinctly remember getting my carrot on a stick and being stoked about it. Yeah. So I am.
Yes, carrot on a stick. That's something that the younger people amongst our listeners will not understand.
No.
Yeah.
Is that
come
a vanilla?
Gather around my rocking chair, you young WoW players, which I don't think exist. I'm fairly.
can I tell you a story real quick?
Yeah. Get on that soapbox. What do you got?
I promise this is WoW related. I'm at the grocery store the other day. I'm wearing my, like, it was the first run of Heroes merch. It was like it looked like almost like soccer shirts.
Oh, yeah.
It had like a silhouette of the hero and then their number on the back and the hero's name, like mm-hmm. you run a team jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my Arthas shirt on. I love that shirt. It's one of my favorite shirts. And I'm in line to check out, and I get up there and they're scanning my stuff. And this young bag boy looks at my shirt and goes, "Hey, isn't that from a video game?" I'm like, yeah, it's from Warcraft. And he's like, "Oh, my older brother played that World of Warcraft, right?" I'm like, yeah, you seem a little young for WoW. And he's like, yeah, I never played it. And I just love that. the phrase "you seem a little young for a while" left my mouth unironically, mm-hmm. and was also accurate.
It's true. Yeah. No, we run into this problem all the time. Hey, did Vanilla have the riding crop or the carrot on a stick thing?
Yes, yeah, that was a Vanilla thing. Vanilla. I remember.
So you'll all get that in Classic, right? That'll be in Classic, sure.
Yeah, well, my now wife and I were playing freshman year of college. I remember going out there to get that damn thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember those days. I was too busy feeding my pet.
I was drawing naked ladies in art school listening to this show on my iPod Mini.
Nice. Nice. Boy, that's a throwback, isn't it? All of that. Everything mm-hmm. you said. Yeah. Except yep. for the drawn naked ladies. I do that every day.
Well, sometimes it was naked dudes. And sometimes yeah. it was both.
You know what my favorite was in those life drawing classes? By the way, the most easily in college, the most I got out of any classes I ever took, life drawing. 100%. Helped me exponentially. I still rely on things I learned in that class.
I can finally draw hands.
Yes.
Like 10 years ago.
Hands and profile, facial bone structure. Like even if you're doing cartoons or you're doing something more realistic, it helps across the board. I totally recommend it if you're a student. Even if you're not if you're not even going for an art degree, take a life drawing class just for funsies. It's not because everyone's naked. That is not. They're usually not attractive people. We would get my favorite people to draw were like 80-year-old dude in there was my favorite because he was all angular and had crazy bones and his neck was all
80-year-old dude can be attractive.
Well, I mean,
I'm not gonna help us pull out of this nosedive. I was the opposite because we got a lot of old dudes, and so when we would get a young dude, I was like, thank God, a handsome man. I get to draw someone with muscle tone. It's wonderful.
We had a guy like that once, but he got a little bonery. It's hard to explain, but it was bad.
Oh,
he did.
That must be so awkward.
Is it hard to explain? Because I'm pretty sure you just explained it.
My buddy Dan yelled from the back of the class, "Hold still! I can't keep drawing this if you don't hold still." And he was referring to him getting a little bonery. Anyway, the point is,
listen. If you're around people who like to get paid not a lot of money to be naked on a regular basis, you're gonna meet some interesting people.
Yeah, and some of them were. Oh, man, I just love that class. Gosh dang it. It makes me want to draw now. All right.
They were always in the morning, and I loved having a cup of coffee and just busting out the sketch pad and the charcoal, and it was good. Yeah. I miss it a lot.
I still have some of those somewhere. They're probably dying because, you know, that newspaper stuff you used to use in there just starts to go to shit.
Oh, yeah. Newsprint is not archival.
No.
Take pictures of it, everybody.
I have a
sketchbook still around with a lot of life drawing in it.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You should share it. I want to see it sometime. What else in the mount category? Anyway, that's a really cool thing, and you can also get some pretty unique mounts. This particular content drop, Mechano Wheel Mount, which is basically a big tire to ride around in. To me, it's reminiscent of I don't remember the character's name, but in the, my brain just went dead. The car combat game, Twisted Metal. In Twisted Metal 2, and beyond, I think, there was always this character that was just a dude standing inside of a giant tire, and I can't remember what his character was called, but it looks like that and it's awesome. So I'm gonna get that mount. I don't care what it takes to do to get it. I'm getting it. There's also a crab mount. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, but there's a Star Wars panel I think starting now, and I would be remiss if I didn't say it didn't look like the crazy wheel vehicle from episode 3 that Grievous and Obi-Wan fight on.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's an okay thing in a movie that's otherwise terrible.
Yeah, I will fight you to the death over episode 3. I love that.
And when he's on the beach with the fiery legs, and like, it's so bad, dude. That stuff's bad. When they're fighting on lava rocks, floating down the lava river, it's bad, right?
You were my brother, Scott. It was said you would bring balance to the podcast, not help destroy it.
Yeah, good point. I'm not gonna push you further. Hey, Axel was the guy in Twisted Metal. There you go. Thanks, chat. They cleared that up for us.
I get it, because it's just a giant wheel, and they move on an axle.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. People are saying episode 3 is good. That's fine. You like what you like.
Well, I mean, it's another generation thing, I think. And we all know young people have issues discerning quality from crap. So
wow, look
it's
at
fine. We'll leave it.
Patrick went there.
We'll come back to this at the end of the show.
Yeah, all right. I like it.
I will sneakily disappear before we do.
Fantastic. Let's dive into what else is happening at Blizzard. So, nothing big in Overwatch other than I just am happy to say that I think Baptiste is amazing. I think he's great, and I love him. I think he's a little OP, in fact.
I mean, we have the teasers for the new archive mission.
That's
next week.
Oh, that's next week?
It's in Cuba, probably, and we're going to be going after the Doomfist's accountant, which is an omnict. I think he's named Sebastian.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, it's the new event is starting. It's going to be a new mission, which is notable because all of the events in Overwatch are always the same as they were last year.
Yeah.
But at least in this one, we get a new mission, a PvE mission, and they're usually fun. So
yeah,
that's cool.
If they have Junkenstein again in Halloween time, I'm gonna rip my hair out. I'm tired of it. No more. No more Junkenstein.
I agree. I think we're reaching like the level at which there will be rioting in the streets. We're all going to bust out our like yellow vests and go walk on Washington.
Yes.
That will do.
There you go. 1,000 nerd march. I'm ready. Not a million. Can't get that many. All right.
Do you mean the gates of Blizzard? I'm not sure Washington would be. Washington would be very confused if.
Let's do it in Irvine.
Stood up with signs that said no more Junkenstein.
Yeah. Do it in Irvine, California. You know? It's only bad there because the traffic sucks. But yeah, other than that, it's great. Hearthstone, something happening Tuesday, yeah? When's that big drop happening? Or did it already? Have I missed it?
The expansion's already out.
Oh, is it out?
It's here.
Well, I've not been paying attention.
We opened a lot of packs on Tuesday
between
Jocelyn Dills and myself.
Yeah. Anything in there where you were like, oh, I got the best card of the world?
No, I got pretty boned. I had an excruciatingly average card pack opening, and I opened a lot of card packs thanks to donations, but I got a real average haul of legendaries.
Well done. Is the single player thing you were telling me about now, is that part of it? Is it done?
It is not in yet. That is probably what you're referencing to, but as someone who doesn't follow single player too closely, I have no idea when that's dropping.
Oh, well, that would be very of high interest to me. I keep hearing Slay the Spire comparisons.
It's supposed to be good. I'm definitely going to pick it up and play it and give this an honest shake because it sounds like this is going to be single player from now on.
Yeah.
So if they're asking for money and saying that they put a lot more effort into it, then I'm going to believe them this first time. They'll get my money. I'll play it and we'll go from there.
A side question. Do you feel like there's a lot of Hearthstone usuals or regulars that have not defected, but seem to be pretty enraptured by Magic Arena currently? Or is that just me seeing that?
I don't know about... Well, I mean, there are a lot of Hearthstone pros playing Magic, but I'm always skeptical of how much money is changing hands there.
Yeah.
It sure seemed, at least for a while there, some of them were, you know, getting paid to stream it, and now they're getting... I mean, if you're a pro player, you're getting invited to this stuff. I mean, you're going to go, right?
Right, of course. Yeah.
That being said, like, my own friends, a lot of my own, like, personal card game playing friends, Hearthstone is dead to them now. A lot of my own personal tabletop friends have completely switched over to Magic.
Yeah.
Arena and are not looking back because they came to Hearthstone as Magic fans wanting a lot of what Magic offers in terms of formats, and Hearthstone never added any of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
still hasn't. And now here's Magic with actual drafting, actual sealed, actual tournaments. And so for a lot of my real life, like, would go to Magic pre-releases in person with them friends, they're done.
Yeah. They finally are getting the game they wanted in the first place.
Right. Which bums me out, because I liked playing Hearthstone with my real-life card game friends.
Sure. I can understand
But this is a personal anecdote. I can't speak to everyone else. Mm. But, yeah, it seems like, you know, Hearthstone's, to me, as someone who doesn't play Overwatch anymore, just from the outside looking in, it seems like it's in a very similar place. Like, it's kind of, it's just moving along, and it's what we have all come to expect from it in terms of regular updates. And for, I think a decent chunk of the audience, it's not enough that they're kind of looking for something new, something like a big splash. And there's nothing like that in this expansion. There's some really great cards. The meta has been shaken up pretty drastically. And I haven't played it yet, but the new single player legitimately does look to be massively improved upon.
Yeah.
But it's still more or less the same Overwatch we know.
Interesting.
Or Overwatch, Hearthstone. Sorry.
Well, you're not wrong there either. I mean, he says that by accident, but it's still kind of true, Patrick. Like, Overwatch isn't...
Oh, yeah. We're in the same boat now. Yeah. Absolutely.
These were Blizzard's two big breakout games.
Yeah.
like they came out and they were massive successes. And in certain cases, I think with Hearthstone more than Overwatch, this isn't me talking shit. It's just Overwatch, you know, we've seen shooters before. I think Hearthstone really made a mark on the industry.
Oh, yeah.
And was a huge surprise.
Well, there was nothing to its level previous to this, including other Magic efforts, which were terrible at the time. Magic Online or whatever it was called. It's terrible.
Oh yeah. MTGO is a bad game. I played it because I wanted to play real Magic on my computer and not always have to go to a store, but ooh, it's rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and the I was going to say the lack of success, but the abysmal performance of Artifact is a testament to the difficulty of making that happen. I guess maybe Artifact is so bad that it doesn't even count as something to compare it to, but
That Artifact thing is such a bummer, man. Just a bummer on all sides.
Sucks.
Yeah,
it's a mixed bag because I was hoping it would be successful because I think obviously competition is good for the space.
Yeah.
But Magic Arena, clear,
I'm not happy it's doing badly.
No, I don't think any of us are. Yeah.
It emphasizes how special what Blizzard has and had with Hearthstone was.
Right.
Oh yeah, totally. But MTG Arena is seeing a lot of success, and I'm hoping that'll drive some more innovation over on Hearthstone side of things.
I don't know where they are. It's really difficult to judge for both Overwatch and Hearthstone if they're thinking, you know what, it works. We're gonna keep renewing it with small things until it dies as we're working on other new cool breakout stuff, or if they're working, you know, behind the scenes to do some really new things for those games. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe they're just letting them riding the success as long as they can without reinventing the wheel. I'm bummed about that. I'm just hoping some of the new games they're going to come out with maybe in those universes will reinvigorate our love for those franchises, but I don't know where they are, and it is surprising that they're not doing more to make those games more appealing to existing and new users, game players.
Right, right.
Yeah, and it's easy as a player to say that without having worked on the game, because we don't know. Like, I've always assumed that adding new ways to fundamentally play a game of Hearthstone into the client is rather difficult because of however they decided to build their game.
Right.
And maybe the same is true of Overwatch, although we've seen some pretty nutty game modes in Overwatch, so I don't think it doesn't seem as hard, at least from past experiences of different game modes.
Yeah. Someone in the chat says, how come you guys stop playing Overwatch? I still play it. Patrick plays it a lot. I don't think.
Yeah,
and also Hearthstone. I mean, obviously, Garrett's playing Hearthstone pretty on the very regular. So we're
Yeah, I mean, you asked for kind of a larger, you know, top down view of I think where Hearthstone sits in a more general consciousness right now, and I don't think it's doing enough to either find new players or bring back I don't know what to call them, regular casuals,
right?
And you know, maybe we're not understanding, as you're saying, we're complaining about them, but I'm still playing Overwatch regularly, a little bit less in the past couple of weeks, but I go back to it and play a lot. And you still play Hearthstone, Garrett, and a lot of
I'm enjoying it more now than I have in a very long time.
Yeah. Right. So maybe, you know, they know that, yes, adding a radical new mode or some, you know, super extensively revamped events in Overwatch would bring back a few players, but the people who are playing now are playing anyway, so it's not, from a monetary standpoint, not really worth going all out, and it's better to invest your money in developing new games. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's just, you know what, people who are playing anyway, and they're not gonna it's not gonna change the community. If we do this, we'd rather work on an entirely new game.
Right. And we've got...
Yeah, my brain's been going there quite a bit lately as well, because I've been getting very much back into StarCraft II Esports.
Mm.
And that's a game that hasn't changed really at all. It's it's still doing its thing. It still does it very well. And now, since I find myself with extra watch time, since sadly HGC was canceled, I was like, well, let me check back in on StarCraft, and I've just got sucked. I've gotten sucked right back in. The GSL finals, I believe, were last night. I haven't watched them yet. No spoilers, please. I'm gonna sit down on the couch tonight with a beer and enjoy. Maybe there's something to be said for that, because I remember doing StarCast and just the cries of dead game, yeah, and yada yada yada. And I'm not saying that's happening in Hearthstone. I don't see it happening in Hearthstone. The core player base seems to be very happy, and as I am,
and large, it's a big player base. Like, we're not,
exactly. Yeah. And so it's all kind of pointless, I think, to a certain degree.
Yeah.
It clearly can still work. It just kind of, I guess, depends on what they're hoping to accomplish.
For me, that's also true of Heroes of the Storm, which I'm enjoying more than I almost ever have. I don't know why.
The meta is great right now, yeah, in Heroes.
It's awesome.
Such an
right
upheaval
now
in what heroes, like specific heroes you can play, are doing well and which ones are falling off, and they're still doing reworks and balance adjustments. I got back from a 4-day trip and looked at statistics in Heroes of the Storm and was like, what is happening?
I'll tell you what's happening. They no longer have to balance and patch for a pro league and a bunch of professional players. They don't have to do that anymore. They can balance, patch, and switch things up for fun, for the meta for us. Like, that's why it's kicking it right now. Like, it's so much fun right now to play that game in all the modes. And I don't know what I expected, but I'm having a blast in there. They're still doing their cyberpunk deal.
Chaldeum event. Complex.
Chaldeum Complex. Yes, that's it. And it's fun. It's good. It's all good. Things are happening great in Heroes of the Storm. No sign of a new hero. No sign of any new maps or any kind of like that sort of content. It's been a little bit. Who was the last
one? There are signs of Anduin.
Oh, right. There have been hints of Anduin. Yeah.
Yeah, he was leaked like a month ago, if not more, and still hasn't been officially revealed.
It's the new Cadence.
Anything of the matter,
right?
So.
It's the new Cadence. We don't know yet.
That's if you're someone who like lived and died, your interest in Heroes of the Storm lived and died on new heroes, then I assume your interest in the game has died.
Because
we're not going to get a lot of new heroes like we used to. It's just
this is all true,
matter of fact. And that was something we knew was coming before the kind of the team was halved and HCC was canceled. They told us at the end of last year, hey, hero releases are going to start slowing down a lot, because the roster's filled out.
Yeah.
Yep. And look at other MOBAs and the frequency at which heroes get added to those. I mean, that's essentially where we have arrived.
Yes. So enjoy your time here, because that's where we're at. I think that's going to do it for all those things. Nice lineup right now. Let's get out of here. It's been a fantastic show. Patrick, tell us what you ate at the Tex-Mex restaurant in Finland. What did you have?
Oh, I'm starving. I haven't eaten yet because I'm waiting for this show to end so I can order food.
Is it just you? Are you there alone?
Man,
is your
if I
wife
was your
there?
Waiter, I would be so irritated.
Well, it's fine. We have space. It's a countryside town. But I'm hungry.
Who are you with? So is it just you? Are you the only one there?
It's just me. Yeah. It's essentially. So okay, a small dive into the life of Patrick and Sonia in Finland. What we do is that we each have an afternoon during the week where the other one is in charge of the baby, and the person who has the afternoon off can go and do whatever they want and relax and have fun. And so I chose to spend that time with you two, which I guess, and the audience of the show.
In retrospect, I regret greatly. Is that what you're going to say?
Which, in retrospect, I would have much rather have, you know, played some Switch games and watched a Marvel movie for the 15th time or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, show's almost over. I'm going to stick it out.
Yeah, you'll be all right. Well, I'm really glad you were able to make it. And I hope you get to eat soon and all of that. And I also really like that idea. That's a great way to blow off some steam. You know, I think we kind of did that too, Kim and I, but I don't remember. It's been a while now since my kids were that little. But Anyway, Patrick Beja, of course, over at FrenchSpin.com, where there's lots of good shows. I hear there was a really good Phileas Club this week. My sister was on. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. We talked about being an expat. And we had Wendy, who's lived in Sweden. We had Mayank, who came from India and now lives in the U.S. And we talked about what it is like to be an expat. It was really fun. And we also had an episode of Pixels last week, where we talked about a bunch of stuff. Really interesting. There's another one coming in just a couple of days, and that's a video game show. And both of those are at FrenchSpin.com. And I am Not Patrick on Twitter and the social network.
Nice. Check that out, everybody. Garrett, anything happening over at amove.tv this week that people should be primed for?
I mean, yeah, we're going to do a big deck roundup like we always do after expansion releases over on the Angry Chicken come Tuesday. So if you want to hear about all the different archetypes that are making waves in the wake of Rise of Shadows release, definitely go check that out. Enter the Apex is still going strong. If you want to hear about Apex Legends, subscribe to that. And Into the Nexus is going nowhere. So if you want, I guess, the only Heroes of the Storm podcast still standing, go subscribe to Into the Nexus.
Nice. Do that. Also, a reminder that in 2 weeks I'll be at the TMS Vegas meetup with, which is my morning show. And we got a whole bunch of people coming for that. A lot of them are probably listening now because I know some of you are WoW fans. Anyway, if you have not been told or didn't know that on the Thursday of that event, we're having a Overwatch tournament in the Luxor Esports Arena, streamed live, by the way, over at frogpants.tv. Then let us know because the teams are kind of in final formation mode. And we're working on a couple of things, but we've got an Overpants tournament coming, and we're stoked. So speaking of Overwatch and how much fun it can be, we're going to have a big community tournament the Thursday of the, what day is that? It's the 24th, 5th, 6th, 6th, 5th, whatever it is. The final weekend of the month, that Thursday, is when we're in Vegas doing that. And if you're coming and you have not let us know about your desire to be on one of our Overwatch teams. And it's super casual, by the way. Like, nobody's great. Nobody's terrible. It's just a bunch of average playing Overwatch fans who are also listeners who are going to play and have a blast. We'll do a little mini TMS thing on the stage. It's going to be great. So details on that over at frogpants.com if you're looking for more. I think that's everything. Watch for the Mets and interviews. They'll continue to come in. All the way through probably part 4, like I said. I think we've got 4 total parts in this thing. And do check out our Instance Loot Stash subscription. It's new and it's available to you and your loved ones over at theinstance.net. Just click the link that says the Instance Loot Stash and you'll find all kinds of cool stuff for lots of levels. Starts at a buck and goes up. We've got common, rare, epic, legendary, warforged, and each has great benefits to subscribing. Thanks to everybody who already has. You guys have been awesome last couple of weeks, and we're very excited to continue that. That's going to do it. More shows like this at frogpants.com. Find me on Twitter at Scott Johnson, and more shows, I already said, at frogpants.com. That's repeating myself. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I'm starving. I haven't eaten yet because I'm waiting for this show to end so I can order food.